Miu Miu Nomokium. Hello, welcome everyone. My name is Frank Sterling. Some of you might know me by Free Will in Franklin, and I'm here today to share with you some history and my personal story and experience with blood quantum. And I'll ask the question, what makes a person Native American? Is it culture? Is it language?
Miu yam joona, no tung rin makante yaka, no na potung sunny makante yaka.
Or is it your blood quantum? But first, what is blood quantum?
Blood quantum is a concept that's not a native indigenous concept. It's a concept created really by Europeans and European Americans. And it's really the idea that our political status and our biology are one and the same, and that they're measurable.
I'm speaking with Professor Jill Dorfler.
I'm the department head for American Indian Studies at the Duluth campus of the University of Minnesota, and I'm also a first degree descendant of the White Earth Nation. I've been studying blood quantum really for a number of decades now. It's something that I worked on for my dissertation topic, and I've written broadly on this issue.
Professor Dorfler believes that blood quantum exists in name only and as a concept, but it's not real.
Of course, we know today that there is actually no such thing as blood quantum. It isn't a real thing, but it's something that was utilized by the U.S. for a wide array of purposes.
Blood quantum, or Indian blood laws, are a part of the United States and its history. Blood laws were enacted by the American government to set a legally defined outline for racial populations. For African Americans and descendants of slaves, the blood quantum was one drop. One black ancestor, or one drop of African blood, and you could be considered black. For Native Americans, we had and have to prove how much blood we have. Why the difference?
To me, what it shows us is the real political and economic purposes behind the idea of blood quantum. It further shows us that blood quantum, A, isn't a real thing, and that B, it doesn't have any real meaning. And we can see that in many ways, but in one way by these very opposing ways in which it has been used by the U.S. government. So as you said, on one hand, to classify as many people as possible as African American so that the U.S. could extract labor from them, keep them in a lower position in American society, and exploit them. On the other side, American Indians needing to be a minimum of one quarter because the U.S. wanted to have less people qualify as American Indians so that they could, by their rationale, justifiably obtain land and reduce that financial obligation, Indian Health Services, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, etc. If there are no Native people, then all of those obligations go away. And so we see then that blood quantum has been used in these two opposing ways to benefit a few people in the U.S. and to exploit others.
The U.S. government says blood quantum laws were created to help define Native American status by using fractions of our Native American ancestry, or our blood quantum. But basically, when you look at blood quantum laws, it's a way, at least on paper and in legal terms, to exterminate Native American tribes. They do this by claiming there's not enough blood of their original ancestors in their veins to be an Indian. Am I being paranoid? Again, Professor Dorfler.
When it comes to American Indians, blood quantum has primarily been used by the U.S. government as a way to limit and reduce the number of people who have that political status. The U.S. has used it to fulfill that long, old, really old idea that Indians are going to disappear. Under blood quantum, that would happen. Really, the primary purpose of blood quantum from the U.S. government standpoint, like I said, to reduce and eliminate the number of Native people.
To reduce and eliminate. What does that mean for my family and my tribal people? From my father's side, I'm an enrolled member of the Rincon Band of San Luiseno Indians. At least, that is the name the Spanish missionaries gave us. Before that, we were known as Payamquishum, or People of the West. Our tribe is made up of seven bands. The band I belong to, Rincon. Then there's La Jolla, Paula, Palma, Pechanga, Saboba, and one more, San Luis Rey, which is not federally recognized. Right now, there are only around 500 enrolled members in the Rincon Band. That's my band, only 500 members. My dad is 3/4 Luiseno blood, but only 3/8 Rincon blood. But because we can only claim one tribe, to the U.S. government, my dad is only 3/8 Native American. Then this mathematical delusion of our blood is passed down through descending generations. So again, we're back to the reduce and eliminate that Professor Dorfler spoke of. I am almost half Native American, but only 1/8 Rincon, as is my sister. But any generations past us will not meet the 1/8 requirement by Rincon to be enrolled members, and therefore not counted by the U.S. government. I caught up with my dad and my nephew making a home repair at my dad's house, and I asked them what they thought about us, my dad, my sister, and myself being considered part of the tribe. But because of blood quantum, my nephew, his sister, and their kids are not.
It doesn't have to do with blood. I am the new tribe, technically. So it actually bothers me because eventually, over time, we're going to go extinct.
The thing is you can't just let it go. You can't just say we have no more blood to pass out. Our blood is drained. So what are we going to do? Turn it into a dust bowl, Rincon, and that's it? What happened to the Rincon Luiseno Indians?
We are the Rincon Luiseno Indians now.
That's now.
That's now. That's who we are. I would be a full tribe member, even though I'm not a full-blooded Native American, but they would consider me part of the tribe.
Yes.
Because I was born into the tribe.
If they only continue to go with blood quantum,
which was something invented by the government to make us go extinct,
but it doesn't.
Eventually they're going to own all of our land and all of our money because they're going to quantum us out.
Not being counted as part of the tribe or an official tribal member affects Native Americans in many ways. In the case of many tribes across the country, when gaming was legalized for Indian tribes, many tribes that were once otherwise without resources were able to give their members benefits. Sometimes this was financial and could be thousands of dollars a year, or full health care, vision, and dental coverage. There might even be grocery cards, home improvement financing. So with my nieces and nephews working full-time jobs, one even working two jobs trying to survive in the Bay Area housing market, what would it mean if they were receiving this assistance?
It would affect my life greatly to have extra money. At the same time, I think there's more of a point to be made there of not belonging to the tribe and your inheritance, and they're going extinct in the long run is actually kind of sad, you know what I mean? Like, we're not going to exist anymore.
And that's where Professor Dorfler agrees. We need to think of tribal citizenship in a different way.
Sort of divorce it from entitlements and really think about citizenship in form of identity and political participation. That's the heart of who we are and our nations. If we don't have any citizens, we don't have people who can vote in elections, and we don't have a government, right? The main thing is really that identity and belonging and that political status of being recognized as American Indian.
Hearing from my dad, my nephew, and Professor Dorfler, it got me thinking about something that I think is at the heart of this. How did the Rincon Band of Luseno Indians adopt Blood Quantum? And what does it mean to accept more tribal members? To get some more information, I reached out to Laurie Gonzalez of the Rincon Tribal Council.
Okay, well, obviously I'm a Rincon Luseno, very proud of that. I am on Tribal Council towards the end of my fifth term. I am also on the Rincon Culture Committee and have been since 97.
Councilwoman Gonzalez says that through the 30s and 40s, the Rincon people were counted as part of the Mission Indian Census. Then those census numbers were carried over to what is called the base roll. Starting in the 1950s, Blood Quantum started to be pushed on Rincon by the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
So at that time, the BIA agents came around and said, well, in order to really be a tribe, you need to have your constitution, or in our case, articles of association, which are really a form document. Here's the document, fill in the name of your tribe, and then sign off, and now you're official, and we can start distributing whatever it is that the federal government is going to give to you. On that form was a blood quantum amount, and for us, it was set at 1/8.
Councilwoman Gonzalez also says that while searching for solutions, tribal governments must prepare. Once you open up to more members, you have to be able to provide equally for all of them. There is no partial membership.
Medical insurance for everyone. Because if you're a member, you're entitled to it. Can we still maintain our own fire department and our own ambulance and our own paramedics to take care of our people that are here? And do we even have enough land base to welcome them all back?
What are we going to do now seems to be the big question. Indian nations are no longer bound by blood quantum laws. We are free to choose our own path. There are many different solutions. We could allow only three generations of a family enrolled at one time: the children, the parents, and the grandparents. The most common way seems to be lineal descent from your ancestors. If your grandma or your grandpa or your parents were an enrolled member of the tribe, then you are too, and so are your kids. Because in the end, it's about belonging to an original culture. And what would it mean if we were to disappear?
It's not a blood quantum thing, it's a way of life, more like, you know what I mean? It's our inheritance is what it actually is.
The Indian people have gone through atrocities that they don't need to go through anymore. And it would be an atrocity to say the Rincon Luseno Indians are long gone now because we have no more blood. That you might as well just take us and annihilate us like you used to do way back when. You can't do that. You're killing a people. It's what you're doing.
Bottom line is, this would be a sad world without us, the protectors, the water protectors, the earth protectors, you know, the people that have always been here. I mean, the face of your so-called stereotypical stoic Indian is constantly changing. We're not in front of barber shops, and we are not just hunting and gathering on the reservation. We're graduating from universities. We're becoming politicians. These are things that our grandparents never thought could be achieved. So these generations are going to redefine exactly what an American Indian is.
When people take pictures, I go like this.
This has been Free Will and Franklin for KPFA Pacifica Radio. Special thanks to all my guests, Professor Jill Dorfler, Laurie Gonzalez, my dad Frank Sr., and my nephew Josh. The instrumental music used in this piece was from Basement FM. That's B-A-S-S, Basement FM on YouTube. Hati Acham. Good night, everyone.